Glory be to God. Before we begin to pray, any cameraman who wants to take any picture, do it now. After that, for your sake and the sake of your unborn children, go and settle down. Because we are not here to joke today. So if you want to take a picture, those of you who come for nothing but pictures, take it now and then get out of the way. Is that clear? Good. The rest of us, let's lift our hands to the Most High God and begin to bless Him. Let's begin to worship the Ancient of Days. Let's begin to magnify the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Praise Him. Praise the one who reigns forever. Praise the Ancient of Days. Praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the I Am that I Am, the unchangeable changer. Magnify the owner of heaven, the owner of the earth. Magnify the one who is more than sufficient, the all-sufficient God. Thank you, Father. Ramoko Chandra, King of Glory, we bless your name. We worship you. We adore you. We bless your holy name. Karendre moko sheke rendere makakato rundeke remoko sheke tender makashanta. Blessed be your holy name, Lord. Blessed be your holy name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory be to your holy name. Rakun remoko shinde kerema katande remoko ronde keremoko shanta. Enke runde keremoko runde remoko shanta remoko runde kerema katande remoko shanta. Hallelujah, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have worshipped. Now lift your voice to the Almighty God and say, Father, when you are pouring out your blessings today, please don't leave me out. Open your mouth and talk to the Almighty God. Almighty God, when you are pouring out your blessings today, please don't leave me out. Oh, Lord, don't leave me out. When you are pouring out your blessings today, please, Daddy, don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. Don't leave me out. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. What a mighty God we serve. Alleluia. What a mighty God we serve. Alleluia. Heaven and earth adore. Just bow before Him. What a mighty God is. We're serving Him. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. What a mighty God we serve. Hallelujah. Jesus, Marvelous Jesus. Powerful Jesus. Faithful Jesus. Loving Jesus. Dependable Jesus. Overflowing Jesus. Glory be to your holy name. Accept our worship in Jesus' name. We thank you for all you've done for us since the year began. Thank you for all the blessings of January. Thank you for bringing us to a new month. Father, accept our worship in Jesus' name. Today, in all your churches all over the world, do something new. Let there be a mighty outpouring of your spirit, a mighty outpouring of your mercy, a mighty outpouring of your power, a mighty outpouring of your goodness. Please, Lord God Almighty, let every need be met in all your churches all over the world today in Jesus' name. And I'm committing into your hands all your children who have been faithful in the payment of their tithes and the giving of their offerings this month in particular. Overwhelm them with your blessings. A kind of blessing that they will say, God, this is too much. Father, pour it on your children. And Lord, I'm praying that this very day, this particular ground where we are, overwhelm it with your anointing. Thank you, Almighty God. And please, Father, bless Lagos State. Bless Nigeria. Bless all your churches. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Well, let somebody shout hallelujah. I shake hands with one or two people and tell them, I'm already blessed. And then you may please be seated. I must confess that I'm amazed too. Good time on this ground today. 1 Samuel chapter 16. I will read verse 1 and then 11 to 13. 1 Samuel 16, verses 1, 11, 12, and 13. And the Lord said unto Samuel, how long wilt thou mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill thine horn with oil, and go. I will send thee to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for he hath provided me a king among his sons. Now we go to verse 11. And Samuel said unto Jesse, I hear all thy children. And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance, and goodly to look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. From this day forward, the Spirit of the Lord will be on somebody here. What do we mean by outpouring? Outpouring is a combination of two words, out and pour. And it actually means to pour out of a full container. The Lord said to Samuel, fill thy horn with oil. In those days, when they want to anoint somebody, they don't just touch the oil and make a mark on your forehead. They pour a whole bottle, full bottle of oil, full horn of oil on your head. So, to outpour really means to pour until there is an overflow. Psalm 23, verse 5. Psalm 23 verse 5 says, thou anointed my head with oil, my cup runneth over. In the name that's above every other name, beginning from today, in the life of all of you who are listening to me, there be an overflow. Yeah. An overflow of joy, yeah. Of success, yeah. Of health, of anointing, of power, and of hallelujah. I thought I would hear an overflowing hallelujah. Now Genesis 17 verse 1, Genesis 17 verse 1 tells us that God is more than full. He said God is Jehovah El Shaddai, the God who is more than enough. When someone is more than full, he overflows. He overflows to his people. It outpours from his fullness. Now, what does outpouring from God upon a man do? When God pours of his fullness on you, it positions you to fulfill God's purpose. God doesn't just pour out without a reason. He does it to fulfill his purpose. When God wants to do something and he needs someone to do it for him, he pours of himself on him. For example, 1 Samuel chapter 10 verse 1. 1 Samuel 10 verse 1. When Samuel anointed Saul, he told him, it is because God has chosen you to be the captain of his people. In 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 that I read earlier on, 1 Samuel 16 verse 1, he said to Samuel, the reason I want you to fill your horn with oil is that I'm about to choose a new king. So when there is an outpouring, it empowers the fellow on whom the thing has been poured to lead. 1 Samuel 22 verse 1 to 2. 1 Samuel 22 1 to 2. When David has been anointed and he had to go and hide in the cave of Adullam, several people gathered themselves unto him. And the Bible said he became captain over them. In other words, if somebody has the outpouring of God upon him or her, anywhere you find him, he will rise to the top. Without any effort, he will make it to the top. So I can decree with confidence to all of you who are listening to me now, whether the devil likes it or not, you will reach the top. But when he has poured of himself on you, you begin to overflow. You yourself will begin to overflow. You begin to overflow in words. Suddenly your words will have tremendous power. So after today, now you have to be careful what you say. Because as you are seeing it, it will be coming to pass. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse 9 to 11. 1 Samuel 10, verse 9 to 11. As soon as there was this outpouring on Saul, the son of a farmer became a prophet. He began to overflow. His words became prophecy. And David, when he was anointed, when this story came upon him, he suddenly became a prophet. Many people don't know that David was a prophet. But the three most significant prophecies about the Lord Jesus Christ came from the mouth of David. Psalm 22 verse 1. Psalm 22 verse 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? David prophesied it before Jesus repeated it on the cross. Psalm 23 verse 1 to 6. Psalm 23 verse 1 to 6. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. All the way. Talking about the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ right now came from the mouth of David. Long before Paul wrote, my God shall supply all your needs. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Psalm 24, verse 7 to 10. Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lifted up, ye everlasting doors, that the King of glory may come in, and so on and so forth. Talking about the future return of the Lord Jesus Christ came from the mouth of David. The moment the outpouring comes upon you, whatever you say becomes a decree. And so I want you to start by saying, from now on it will be well with me. Say it loud and clear. And so when you have the outpouring, it becomes difficult not to witness. It becomes very difficult not to tell others about Jesus Christ. You won't be able to keep quiet. Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says, you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you become what? Witnesses. So from today onward now, you will just discover everywhere you go, you want to tell others about Jesus Christ. Whether they want to hear or not, at least you will tell them. Because you will not be able to keep quiet anymore. You begin to outflow through your mouth. But not only just to witness, but to heal. Acts chapter 9, verse 33 to 34. Acts 9, 33 to 34. After the outpouring came on Peter, he was able to say to somebody who had been bedridden for a long time, Aeneas, the Lord has healed thee. And immediately, Aeneas was healed. And I'm believing God for every one of you listening to me now. From today onward, when you see the sick and say, be healed, they'll be healed. But the outflowing through your mouth is also for fighting purposes. So from today onward now, your enemies are in trouble. I can give you two examples. Acts chapter 5, verse 1 to 4 to 11. Acts 5, 1 to 11. Somebody, and his name is Ananias and his wife Sapphira, wanted to spoil the church of God, even at the very beginning. And Peter didn't touch them. He simply said, die. And they died. You say, you mean that now I might be able to kill somebody who is trying to destroy my marriage? I'm saying, yes, ma'am. I'm saying, are we not in the New Testament? Oh, Acts of the Apostles is in the New Testament. Some of you misunderstand who Jesus is. is a combination of the lamb and the lion. And believe me honestly, somebody said, soldiers don't kill people. They only kill enemies. And anyone who will not allow you to reach your goal, say it with your mouth, the fellow shall die. Anyone who wants to destroy your family, that fellow shall. You see, the trouble with many of us Christians, the reason why we have suffered so long is that we don't fully understand the scriptures. Our God is love. That's what the Bible says. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8. God is love. But our God is also the consuming fire. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 29. Hebrews 12, verse 29. These two scriptures are in the New Testament, in the age of grace. Anyone from now on who wants to stop you from making progress, anyone who is blocking your way to joy, anyone who is blocking your way to peace, anyone who is killing innocent people, the consuming fire shall consume. I give you another example. Acts chapter 13. Because the Bible says out of two or three witnesses, you will establish all truth. Acts 13, verse 6 to 12. Acts 13, 6 to 12. The Bible tells us that Paul was preaching to a governor, trying to bring him into salvation. And then there was this wizard, sorcerer, who was there troubling the man of God, telling the governor, I don't mind him, he's only after your money, don't you know the kind of person they are? Paul didn't say, God bless you, sorcerer. He didn't even say, God have mercy on you. He said, be blind. And he was blind. I am joining my faith with yours to say, anyone focusing on you, focusing on your family, focusing on your church, for evil intentions, shall go blind. One who has decided to slow you down by purposely criticizing you when you have not offended him at all, is just busy, determined to criticize you, that fellow will lose his mind. The outpouring is to empower. Please be seated. That's why I told those photographers not to distract me today, because otherwise, fire will fall. The outpouring is for you to overflow, not only through your mouth, but through your sweat. That is why when the outpouring comes upon you, when you lay hands on the sick, the power that has been poured into you will flow through your sweat onto your hand and produce healing. How is healing produced? Healing is produced by killing the enemy causing the sickness. Healing is produced by killing germs and by killing viruses. So you find that you need to kill the enemy in order for the friends to live. That's why doctors, desperate to save the life of a lady who has cancer of the breast, may decide to cut off the breast. And it's not that they hate the lady, but they want her to live. I say one more time, every spiritual germ, every spiritual virus in your life, in your marriage, in your home, in your business, in your churches, shall be destroyed today. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 11 to 12. Acts 19, 11 to 12 tells us that God performed special miracles by the hand of Paul, so that from his body they take aprons and handkerchief, things that have come in contact with his sweat, to sick people. And the sick God healed. And demons will see the handkerchiefs come in and run. You are meant to overflow through your sweat. Not only that, you are to overflow even through your shadow. Acts chapter 5, verse 14 to 16. Acts 5, 14 to 16 tells us that the shadow of Peter healed the sick. Let me tell you one thing, and please let your faith join with mine. That from now on, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, when you shake hands with the sick, they'll be healed. When demons see your handkerchief, they will run. In the name that's above every other name, if somebody should stumble on you in the office, in the marketplace, in the bus, in the taxi, they will receive a miracle. The outpouring is to empower you to produce people like yourself, who will then go and do exploits. For example, in 2 Samuel 23, verse 8 to 39, 2 Samuel 23, 8 to 39, the same people who were called vagabonds, who gathered together to David, and he became captain over them, became mighty men. The Bible called them mighty men, because the overflow of David turned vagabonds to mighty men. Several years ago, when we began a program to the Lagos area boys, because the area boys became so terrible in those days that if you are coming to Lagos, you must make sure you wind up the windows of your car, no matter whether you have AC or not, otherwise. So the government of the day said that, some people of the day, don't let me say the government, said they should do something about these boys, kill them, drown them, do whatever, just get rid of them. And we said, give them to Jesus. Let's do something about them. And we began to reach out to them. Because they are tough, we had to select mobile policemen who are members of the church to go and become people who will be ministering to them, so that if they decide to do something funny, these people are trained to undo them. And many of them gave their life to Jesus. We took them to mission school. We trained them. And one of them became our national pastor in Norway. Today, as I'm talking to you, we have more than 3,000 of them undergoing special training. The anointing is to empower you to turn vagabonds to mighty men. Very, very soon, in the name that's above every other name, some of these people that are called area pastors will become evangelists. They become prophets. Because God will use you. Do I hear amen? When you read Isaiah 61 from verse 1 to 4, Isaiah 61 verse 1 to 4, the Bible tells us that the purpose of this Spirit of God being upon you as a result of the anointing is to help the people who are in trouble, heal the sick, comfort those who are mourning, set captives free, and then turn them to people who become builders of waste places. So the anointing that is coming upon you today, not only will it destroy all the yokes in your own life, not only will it empower you to deal with your enemies, it will also help you to build disciples, to produce people who will be strong, who will be mighty, who will be able to take the whole nation for Jesus Christ. If you believe that's going to happen to you, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Now, I have to be brief because this all our churches are tuning in now. They are tuning in right now, and after I finish, that's when they will begin their Thanksgiving service. That outpouring is something you must be willing to pay any price for. The outpouring, if it's going to require praying, pray. If it's going to require fasting, fast. Whatever is going to cause you to be empowered by God, make sure you do it. Because the moment that outpouring comes upon you, you become far, far stronger than your enemies. And I have good news for you. Before this time, next month, your testimonies will be shaking the world. You will be healing the sick. You will be setting captives free. You will be raising the dead. And enemies will see you coming and they will run. And whether the enemy likes it or not, your promotion has started now. But in conclusion, the oil of God may be full of oil. God may be sitting down in heaven and say, okay, I want to pour it out. But if the head is not right, the oil will not flow. If you read that same 1 Samuel 16 from verse 1 to 10, 1 Samuel 16 verse 1 to 10, Samuel arrived in the house of Jesse and said, God has sent me to anoint one of your boys as king. The oil in this horn is to be poured on one of your sons. Jesse brought the biggest, the firstborn. He was tall, huge. The man of God said, this must be the fellow. No, the oil refused to move. He brought the second boy, the third, the fourth, till seven of them. The oil stayed in the horn. He refused to move. And this oil must not go away empty. I mean, without being empty. So Samuel said to Jesse, don't you have another son? He said, well, there is one. He's in the bush somewhere. And the man of God said, you better go and bring him. And as soon as they brought David, God said, that's the fellow. The head is right. I pray that your head will be right this morning. Let me say it one more time. Your head will be right. Let me put it another way. Your head will not refuse anointing this morning. That is why in Acts of the Apostles chapter 2, verse 37 to 39, Acts 2, 37 to 39, when the people saw what the outpouring of the Holy Spirit was doing in the life of ordinary fishermen like Peter and Co., they said, we want this thing too. What must we do? Peter said, repent. Surrender your life to Jesus. Get baptized. And then the outpouring will be available for you. So if you are here this morning and you have been playing church, pretending to be a Christian, but you are not born again, you've been singing with us, you've been shouting, you've been doing whatever, but you have not surrendered your life to Jesus Christ, and you don't want to miss this outpouring, I beg you in the name of the Almighty God, come and surrender your life to Jesus now. If you make up your mind to say bye-bye to a life of sin, it doesn't matter all the evil you have done. I've just given you an example of an area boy who became a national pastor all the way in Norway. The Almighty God can take you, whoever you are, change your life completely and turn you to a vessel unto honor in His hand. So if you want to give your life to Jesus Christ, because some of you are so far away, I will count from 1 to 20. Before I say 20, come and stand before me. Those of you at the cricket pitch, there is an altar there waiting for you. You just go before the altar there, and the prayer I pray here will reach you there. Now I'm counting. 1. If you want to give your life to Jesus, you have to hurry forward. And if you are far away, come very quickly. 2. If you are in the gallery, you need to begin to move and move very, very fast. 4. Oh, God wants to pour out His power. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon you, but first, you must surrender your life to Jesus, because the oil will not flow if the head is not right. 5. Thank you, those of you who are clapping. Your hands will begin to overflow with power. 6. I think the counselors will have to move back a little. Let them come a little closer. Come closer. Come closer to me. Don't worry. There's enough anointing to take care of any enemy. Come a little closer. Alright. That's okay. Alright. Keep coming. 7. Thank you, Father. Keep coming. 8. Keep clapping. God will give you something to clap about this year. Eleven. Israel. I see those of you coming down from the gallery, you have to hurry up a little. Just keep coming, make sure you get here before I finish praying. 19. 19. Thank you, Father. If you are on the way, just keep coming. You are not late yet. Just get here before I finish praying. Now those of you already in front and those of you on the way, talk to the Almighty God now. Tell Him, please Lord, just save my soul. Have mercy on me. Cleanse me with Your blood. And I will become one of Your own children. I will serve You for the rest of my life. Be my Lord. Be my Savior. Talk to the Lord. And the rest of us, please, let's stretch our hands towards these people and intercede for them. Pray that the Almighty God will have mercy on them, that the Almighty God will save their soul. That the Almighty God will receive them into His family. Pray for them. Intercede for them, please. For just one more minute, and those of you who are still on the way, please hurry up. Make sure you get up before I finish praying. Oh, glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Savior. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Now those of you who are coming, just keep coming, don't stop. Just keep coming here. Father, I just want to bless Your holy name. I thank You for Your word, and I thank You for these people who have come forward to surrender their lives to You. Please, Father, receive them in Jesus' name. Forgive them in Jesus' name. Let Your blood wash away all their sins. Save their souls today. Amen. Write their names in the book of life. Amen. Accept them into the family of God. Amen. From now on, anytime they call on You, answer them by fire. Amen. And when You are pouring out Your blessing today, please don't leave them out. Amen. Thank You, my Father and my God. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Amen. Now those of you in front, let me hear you shout hallelujah. Congratulations. I'm rejoicing with you. And I want to promise you that from now on, I'll be praying for you. And very soon you'll be receiving miracles. So you will know somebody somewhere are praying for you. And so I'm going to need your names, your address, and your prayer requests. So you wait where you are. The counselors will give you a card, which I want you to fill very quickly. In the card, you will write your name, your address, and your prayer request. They will combine it all and give me a copy, and I promise you, I'll be praying for you. But I want you to stay where you are now, because all of us want to pray one mighty prayer before we proceed further. The rest of us, how many of you believe God will answer you today? I'm going to tell you a little story very quickly before you pray your prayer the way you are going to pray it. You have heard it before. A daughter of mine applied for American visa. I prayed for her before she left. She came back and said they didn't give her the visa. I said, but we prayed. He said, I know they won't give me. I said, why? He said, because you didn't say it is done. I said, okay. They asked you to appeal. She said, yes, okay, go ahead, appeal. And this time, it is done. So she appealed, and they sent her to the same woman who denied her. And that one looked at the papers and said, did I deny you? That's why I'm back. I said, don't worry, I give you 2 years multiple. I want you to pray a prayer today. You're going to use your overflowing anointing now with your mouth. And you are not going to pray, lady and gentleman, prayer. You will lift your mouth wide open to the Almighty God and say, Father, I decree now, everything holding me down, let your fire fall and consume them all. Go ahead, talk to the Almighty God. Anything holding me down, anything slowing me down, anything not allowing me to fulfill the purpose of God for my life, today I decree, let the fire of the Almighty God fall